Good morning, everybody. It is wonderful that we're all gathered here together on the first day of the week to worship God in spirit and truth. Amen. Again, we have some spots we usually do in the winter time where we have some holes in the pews. Let's make sure that we're reaching out to our family here at Lincoln Park, finding out if those who are sick, those who are not feeling well, let's check on them. We know that, you know, this time of year, especially with our elderly, with the bad weather coming in, and, you know, not today, but just in general, you know what I mean, this time of year with all the cold, let's make sure that we're checking in on everybody and making sure everybody's okay, making sure they don't have any needs that maybe we could facilitate. This morning, we're going to preach on, what does the Bible say about singing? We're going to continue on with this sermon series, what does the Bible have to say about singing? And as we think about this sermon here this morning, brethren, it's something that I want us to understand why we do it, because I could tell you that when you look around the auditorium, and sometimes I'll move around, sometimes if I'll get up, I'll go in the back, and we'll be singing songs to God in worship, and some of us aren't singing, or some of us are mumbling, and some of us aren't really fulfilling this act of worship. And so if you're a baptized believer, are we commanded to sing? Okay, and so we're going to start to look at why we sing in worship and why that matters. Okay, this isn't a rebuke on those who may be here this morning that haven't been singing. This is to encourage you as to why we sing. And so why is it important that we sing? Because I can especially tell you, especially some of our teens, you know, sometimes they don't sing as loud because I don't know if it's an embarrassment thing or maybe they just don't feel like they're good singers. I could tell you, if I sing loud, everybody should sing loud because I'm a horrible singer. But God loves a joyful noise, and I produce a joyful noise. And so God loves that. And so, brethren, we're going to look at why we sing here this morning. It's something that I want us to make sure that our newer Christians understand that the importance, but I also want to make sure that even our older Christians who've been Christians for a minute, that they're not just going through the motions. I want us to make sure that we understand how important it is to sing. I think about Tim Dunn here this morning. Russ is over there at Flat Rock. He's preaching over there as they're still looking for a minister. And I remember when I was just at, not too long ago, when I was at his memorial, his nephew Jeff that did the DLES, he said something that Tim spoke just the week before. He said that if you lose your love for God, then worship is going to be one of the most boring things on the planet. Those of you that were there, do you guys remember that? He says, if you don't love God, or if you've lost your love for God, worship will be one of the most boring things on this planet. He says, but if you love God, worship should excite you. It should fill you with joy, knowing that we are offering our God thanksgiving, knowing that we are offering our God devotion and honoring Him in the way that He chose. And so, brethren, it's about mindset. It's about heart condition. As I'm starting to work this quarter with our teens, don't worry, guys, I'm here for Bible study, but I'm up in the balcony, right? And I'm working with the teens, and I'm trying to get them to understand why they have faith in God. I ask them, I keep talking with them, why do you believe in God? And so they'll give me sometimes motives, but not reasons, right? And I'm assuring them as we go through stuff that you don't have a blind faith. A faith is based on evidence. If you're willing to put in the time and the effort to research these things, to look at these things, so you can know that God exists. There's a difference in how you're going to worship God if you're here and you firmly believe that God is the God of creation, that He is real, that He is the living God, that you are loved, that you have importance, that He created you for a purpose. If you'll have a different mindset on how you worship God if you believe that God is real. Amen? And so, brethren, I can't tell you how many times, so like when I talk with younger people, they'll just say, well, I believe in God because, well, my grandma believed in God and my parents believed in God and they take me to church and they're good Christian people, so I believe in God. Well, that's a motive, but that's not a reason, right? And so again, I go back to this idea that Tim had to say, if you lose your love for God, then worship's going to be the most boring thing on the planet. But if you love God, then you have an opportunity this morning and every first day of the week in order to come together with people of like mind who love God, to worship Him in spirit and truth in the way that He chose, to sing with reverence in your heart to Almighty God, to give thanks. And so, brethren, why do we sing? Well, first and foremost, it's a God-ordained act, is it not? It's a God-ordained act to internalize Christ's word. We know that in 1 Peter 3 and 15, we're to do what? We're to always have an answer for those who ask us about the hope that is in us, right? We're to always be able to give a response to why I believe that God is the God of creation, why Jesus is His Son. Brethren, we're supposed to sing praises for His great many glory, His great many wonderful works, and we're to experience collectively a joy that can only come about as the body of Christ comes together to worship God in spirit and truth. So this morning, if you look on the screen behind me, we're going to start to break down some different key reasons on why we sing and worship. The first reason why we sing and worship is because it's obedience to a biblical command, amen? And then you think about it, not only is it obedience to a biblical command, but then it's about teaching and it's about edification. The part of the problem with how we have modern day worship is that we sing songs to basically get to an end, right? Everybody knows that what's the most important part of the worship? The Lord's Supper, right? God has commanded us to gather around the table to partake of the Lord's Supper, and some people get a little irritated if the man at the table speaks a little too long. Some people get a little irritated if the guy on the stage speaks a little too long, right? Somebody gets irritated if they have one too many songs on the board. Sometimes I tease Lewis, he'll have his gospel top 20 up there, and I know that I'm going to run over. But brethren, we try to just pack it all in this little hour, and it almost becomes a means to an end. Like we have to just basically hurry up and get through it so that way we can get to the restaurant or we can get on with our day. And we stuff it all into this nice little package in about an hour, if we're lucky. Hour and 10, 15 minutes sometimes. But the point is, brethren, in the olden days, if you were to go back to the beginning and you study the Bible, worship was a day-long event. It was something that when you were to sing songs to teach and to edify and to admonish, brethren, they would sing some of these songs, but then they had time to talk about the meaning of them. Have you guys ever stopped to consider the meaning of the words of the songs that we sing? We're going to do that today. We're going to look at it briefly. And so we know it's we sing because it's obedience to a biblical command. We know it's for teaching and for edification, but it's also for praising and giving thanks to God for all of His great many wonderful blessings. It's about having emotional engagement, which is basically, it fosters a community connection. It fosters unity amongst believers as we offer up one voice to God and praise to Him. Brethren, we also know it's about proclaiming God's great works. And lastly, it's a foretaste of heaven. So we're going to break these down today. So let's look at start with the first one. When we think about singing unto the Lord, because it's a biblical command, brethren, we look at the first passage on the screen behind me. In your pew Bibles, it'll be on page 1303. But as we look about scripture, it directly commands singing. And I want us to make sure that we understand that this is necessary for essential worship as to how God chose to be worshiped. Brethren, there's something that I want you guys to notice on the screen behind me. Notice what this says in Ephesians chapter 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that, I have that underlined for a reason. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the, read that out loud for me. Okay, so when we sing because it's the will of the Lord. But notice what it says, the will of the Lord is that you don't get drunk. He says, don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation. That just means it's a waste, right? You're squandering. It's a waste. And so he says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Brethren, look at the next one. Colossians 3:16 on page 1315 of your pew Bible. When you look at this one, it's something similar, but it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What does it say? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Brethren, how many times have you ever even considered this, the words, the lyrics to the songs that we sing? Because they're theologically sound. They're doctrinally sound if we're willing to actually take a little time and not just sing a song to get it over with because it's something that's a requirement and we checked off the box. But how often do we really consider the words to the songs that we sing? And we're going to do that this morning. And so as we think about this here, brethren, the next point about why we sing is for teaching and edification. This next point bleeds over from the first point. The first one was a biblical command, but the second one, brethren, we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which helps the word of Christ dwell richly within believers, dwell richly within our minds. Singing serves as a teaching tool among believers. It allows us to instruct. It allows us to encourage each other through spiritually based lyrics. And so let's consider some of those here this morning. You guys know the song, How Great Thou Art. Have you guys thought about how great thou art before? This hymn teaches about the majesty of God. It teaches about the wonderment of creation, the significance of Christ's sacrifice, the gift of salvation. Brethren, how great thou art should inspire awe. It should inspire praise as we sing that song to the Lord, because these are hymns that teach doctrine. The hymn that I stand amazed, right? The lyrics focus on the atonement of Christ. The lyrics express deep wonder and gratitude for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of humanity's sins. What about the solid rock? You know that song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, right? Brethren, have you ever thought about that one? What does it teach? This hymn teaches that core doctrine that faith should be built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. It's built on His sacrifice. It's built on His righteousness. It's not built on worldly things, and it's definitely not built on self-merit. Brethren, I can't tell you how many times I've talked with somebody who thinks they're righteous. And I often have to remind them that you have no righteousness of your own. You're only righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ that continues to cleanse over you so long as you do what? You walk faithfully unto the Lord in His commandments. And so you have no righteousness of your own. Outside of Christ, I'm worthy of death. I'm an abomination to God because I'm still in my sins. And so, brethren, we look at these songs because they have meaning. They're doctrinally significant. And so when we sing as a way to teach and to edify, it's to understand the words that we sing. And that these songs aren't a means to an end, so it's something we just check off the box so we could get our 5 or 6 songs in every Sunday and then hurry up. I was listening to a comedian one time, and he was talking about how you could talk in worship, and he was just surprised that you could talk in worship, and you know people were real boisterous in the auditorium, but during that time he looked at the people at first. He says he looked at him. He goes, "Quiet, 2 more songs, and we're out of here." Brethren, the point simply was that he was making is that he simply thought like it was a means to an end. Like, we have to fill this, we have to do this, so let's get it over with so we can get on with our lives, get on with our day, and we can go back to living. Brethren, we have to cherish this time of worship. And so you think about these different songs. What about songs that admonish? What about songs that guide? You know the song Trust and Obey that we sing. Brethren, the chorus clearly admonishes believers to what? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, right? Brethren, that's the chorus that highlights the importance of obedience in the Christian life. And the hymn, Yield Not to Temptation, that we could sing. This song offers practical warning about resisting sin, reminding the singers that yielding to temptation is sin, and that the Lord can help us. He provides a way of escape so long as we're willing to look for it. Brethren, you see, all of these songs have meaning. What about that sweet hour of prayer? We love that song. We sing that song. It admonishes the congregation on the importance, on the blessedness of regular heartfelt prayer and communion with God. You see, brethren, we don't just sing to sing. We sing songs that are doctrinally relevant. They're relevant in the life of a Christian. But too often we just sing them without ever really pondering, without meditating on its meaning, on the words. And so they just become something that we do to get to the end. The hymn, "Send the Light, Send the Gospel Light." The hymn serves as an admonition and a call to evangelism. It calls us as believers to share the gospel with the lost world. That hymn, "I Am Resolved," it serves as a personal admonition to what? To choose Jesus as the Lord of your life. To leave the world behind and seek out a heavenly home. But if you're just singing the song as a means to an end, you don't ever get the meaning to the words. And so, brethren, we have to sing with understanding in our hearts. Friends and family, these songs and many more that can be spoken about are intentionally chosen because they're theologically sound and because they are essential to Christian living. And so, why do we sing? We sing to reinforce the idea that the entire worship service should be a time of spiritual growth. You don't just spiritually grow when you hear the message at the table. You don't just spiritually grow when you hear the preacher stand before you and preach you a message from the Word of God. You also can be growing spiritually as you're singing to the Lord if you're actually taking the time to consider, to meditate on those words that you offer up to Him. Do you really believe the words that you sing in praise to God? And so we sing for spiritual growth as well as mutual encouragement. The next reason that we sing, brethren, is because we are to praise God and to give thanksgiving to His great and holy name. This next passage I'll have on the screen is from Ephesians 5, but I'm going to go back two slides because I want you to see this one right here. Ephesians 5, 17 through 19. This is the one we already read, remember? "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, that you do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, which is waste, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in hymns, songs, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now look at today, this next slide. "Giving thanks always for all things." These are those next two verses, 20 and 21 of that same passage. "Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Brethren, you look at these passages. Those are the verses that immediately follow the ones that we looked at earlier that are commanding us to sing because it's the will of God. It's a biblical command. But I think of what the writer of Hebrews had to say in Hebrews 13, 15. Where he says, "Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer up the what? The sacrifice of praise to God. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks in His name." Friends and family, when we sing songs to the Lord, it's a sacrifice that's pleasing in the ears of the Lord. It's a sacrifice that's pleasing unto Almighty God. It's a way to express our gratitude and to offer up a sacrifice for the great, wonderful blessings that each of us receive on a regular basis. Brethren, the next reason why we sing is from that list earlier is emotional engagement. Well, what does emotional engagement mean? It just simply means that we sing, and when we sing, the singing moves scriptural truths from the head to the heart. And so it goes from the head to the heart. It stirs within us a joy. It should stir within us a deep emotional connection with God. But you only have that joy and that deep emotional connection with God if you're worshiping God out of a spirit of love and thankfulness and not out of an attitude of, "I need to check this off my box. God says I got to come together and worship. Oh, man, I didn't sleep good. I'd just rather just stay in bed, but let's go to worship. God says we got to worship Him every single Sunday." Do you guys remember what Jesus did on the cross? Do you guys remember the fact that He got nailed to a cross because of your sins? Because of my sins? Because of the world's sins, He was nailed to a cross. "For God so loved the world that He gave His Son." And sometimes we get to the point in our lives where we think, why is God allowing this to happen to me? I'm a good person. Do you remember what he allowed to happen to his son? He offered his son up as a sacrifice for you and I. And so we need to remember that times are sometimes going to be tough. You're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. But in those days, we need to make sure that our joy isn't based on circumstances of the world, because circumstances change daily. You can wake up in a great mood, start out having a great day, get to work, and within the first 2 hours, the plane's crashed and burned. But that shouldn't steal the internal peace and joy that you have in your heart from God's love and God's great many wonderful blessings culminating in the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And so, brethren, we give thanks and praise to God through song, but it also teaches and it admonishes, and it also helps us to have an emotional connection with God as well as one another as we lift up one voice to God as we sing his praises. Brethren, it needs to go from the head to the heart, stirring within us joy and deep emotional connection. When we sing, it should be from sincerity. When we sing, it should be with a heartfelt connection. And the emphasis is on singing with your heart to the Lord, because you love the Lord. You know how precious you are to the Lord. You know how thankful you are for his blessings. Brethren, the next reason we sing and act as an act of worship is it fosters congregational unity. Singing together unites the body of Christ as members collectively affirm faith in Almighty God. When we sing, we proclaim God's works, and it helps us to declare God's salvation and works as seen through the Psalms that we not just read about in the book of Psalms, but that we also sing about. And we also remember the example that Jesus had set. And finally, singing is, well, it's a foretaste of heaven. You know, if you were to study the Bible, singing is seen as the only church ordinance that carries over into heaven. It's the only church ordinance that carries over into heaven because it's, well, it's special to God. Because we, his creation, are singing his praises, giving thanks and glory and honor and reverence to his mighty name. Friends and family, singing is an act of worship that involves a command. It involves teaching and edification and admonishment. It involves praising and thanksgiving, and it involves unifying the church in one voice to God through his teachings, through his example, and through his sacrifice. As we shut this down here this morning, brothers and sisters, if you are a baptized believer, no matter how old you are, you must start singing with thanksgiving in your hearts. It doesn't matter how young you are, the Lord wants to hear your voice. He wants to know that song is coming from your hearts, from a place of deep appreciation and a place of deep reverence for God. That's why, as I continue to teach our teens upstairs, not only are we going to ask the question, what is the most important question that you could ever ask yourself, and that is, does God exist? The next important question is, why is Jesus the Son of God? Because if you don't know why Jesus is the Son of God, and you don't really fully understand the meaning and the importance behind his sacrifice, well then, brethren, maybe you're not then going to sing to God with heartfelt devotion, with sincerity in your heart, because you really don't understand what you're singing for and who you're singing to. And so, brethren, this is why we sing. This is why we offer a praise to God. Singing to the Lord is a time of spiritual growth as well as mutual encouragement for one another as we sing praise to God. So what does it say to God if we just stand here? What does it say to God if you're just standing there when the church is singing? Or what does it say to God if you're just kind of mumbling under your breath? Remember, Jesus, God's Son, God gave his Son on the cross for you. What are you willing to give to God? First and foremost, we sing because it's a biblical command. We sing because it's God's way that he chose to be honored. And so, brothers and sisters, let's make sure we do it with heartfelt sincerity. If there's anybody here today who's hearing this message, And you're not a child of God yet, but you desire to become a child of God. You desire to be baptized for the remission of your sins and for God to add you to his church, add you to his kingdom. You could do that as we stand and sing the song of invitation.